Well, amen. Thank you, Leah. Glad he took that for us. Amen. Appreciate the good special. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Hebrews tonight. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Very well-known chapter, great chapter in the Word of God. Hebrews, chapter 11. We'll read a few verses. Remember chapter 11. We sometimes call it the hall of faith. As we read about the heroes of old and what the Lord has to say about them. And one of them is Moses, and we're going to read a portion that deals with Moses tonight, just a little bit, starting in verse 23, of Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to give him a name for the tape room back there. I'm going to call it Classy Faith. And that might seem a little odd, but we'll see where we're going here with it. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want you to notice that verse in particular, and especially the latter part, then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I'm going to stop right there, but I want to get you to kind of zero in on a thought, and I want to give you a little bit of a principle tonight. Every now and then you have somebody, hear somebody say something about, well, that was classy. I sometimes refer to old cars as classic cars, and I like to see them. I have been known to even go spend 2 or 3 hours walking around just looking at cars. My wife says, well, she's a little naughty about it. She says, he lusts after cars. Now, we pass a junkyard, and I see an old car sitting out there, and I want to turn around and go back and look at it. And she says, can you imagine somebody wanting to do that? Sort of like walking through some of these malls she walks through sometimes. I can't imagine that either, amen? But I'm speaking of, sometimes we say that's a high-class thing, or that's a classy group. And sometimes we're speaking about a social crowd up there, maybe a little bit over our head. You know, I've told you about the guy that asked a classy lady to marry him. She was known to have several $1 million. And he went up and he'd heard her husband died some time back. So he went up and asked her, would she marry him? And she said, why, absolutely not. He went back to his buddy, and his buddy said, well, said, you knew she was going to tell you no. Why'd you ask? He said, I wanted to see what it felt like to lose $1 million. Now, sometimes we have some things in mind that might not be exactly right. But today in America, we're having a problem, I think, generated by those in power positions, setting, as it were, one class against another. Right. Classic warfare would not be the word. Class warfare, I guess, would be. And that goes way back to evil men such as Karl Marx and others that set up this this foundation. And it's always to tell those that have less that you're being cheated, you're being mistreated, and somebody ought to be given to you. They got to, we got the socialist twins in America right now. Yeah, right. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Right. promising all the free stuff. and that's total socialism that they're doing. And America, that's what Karl Marx used in the communist countries and in the and mass graves everywhere around Europe where the masses were misled by that exact same philosophy that we're seeing happen in our country today. But I want to get you to think with me on what is the measurement of what is class. I guess that's one way I'd say it. There was a Harvard professor some time back, I read it. He said, class is measured differently in truth. Now, here's what he said. He said, class has to do with one's ability to see a future and then having the ability or the self-discipline to sacrifice the present satisfaction you get for a future satisfaction. Now, most of you, that went over your head. Young people, let me try it again with you. Here's what he said. Having the discipline or the ability to picture a future and the ability to sacrifice the present to reach that future. I hope you can get it's so important. I want you to get it. The more distant that future is, the longer you have to wait for it and sacrifice for it, the higher class person you really are. Now, boy, that won't tell you, that won't fly in society today. It certainly won't. But it'll apply to what we're seeing in our present time right now. Here's what I'm saying to you. Our nation has shifted to the instant satisfaction, instant gratification. That's where we're at. Shortcuts everywhere. You know, when I grew up as a kid, you had some mom and pop grocery stores, and finally they had some big chain stores that come in, you know, some of the big grocery stores and all that. But you didn't have a little corner store, 7-Elevens on every corner. That come in because folks want something quick, and they'll pay more for it in most cases. But they can do it quick. I didn't know there was such a thing as an automatic car wash. When I was a teenager, we were the car washers, amen? And glad we had a car to wash. But with all that said, we've gone to the shortcut thing, everything. And the quicker we can get it, and the truth is, the less we wait for it and are willing to sacrifice for it, what the professor said is right. The lower we go, instant gratification. That speaks not good of our character. And we're seeing our population today increased with that mentality. Everywhere you look. Now, some folks inherit wealth, and some are raised where they could get a good education, and some others maybe not. But really, what's dealing with what I'm talking about class tonight is in a time perspective. Now, what was Moses saying here? He rather suffer the affliction of God's people than for the pleasures of sin for a season. He knew it was a flash in the pan. Sin does have some fleshly pleasure in it. The Bible admits that. But you see, in Moses' case of taking the affliction now rather than the short term of the pleasure of sin, and so we would say Moses was top class, wouldn't we say that? And that principle right there is what the professor was making saying about. Now, you know what happened to that professor? He about got fired off over that philosophy, because that philosophy is not taught in colleges and in universities today. Just the opposite is taught. Grab for all the gusto you can. Get it right now. That's the attitude today that has been propagated from school right on up, and we're seeing that today. And that's why we had a fallout, an economic breakdown, bank foreclosures and bailouts and all that business, because folks was grabbing for something they couldn't afford. And you've seen it. I've seen it all my life where somebody paid something down and could not pay for it. Just ridiculous. Pay higher rates. I remember when I was just graduating, around the time I was graduating school, the new cars come out. Everybody would love to have one, but all of us couldn't afford it. So we were still keeping the old jalopies going ourselves by working on them and all that. But I remember one of the kids, he just couldn't wait. So he went and bought a brand new one. Now, I want to tell you something. The rest of us coveted it. There ain't no doubt about it. But when I heard how he got it, even then, unsaved, as an unsaved 19-year-old boy, I said, that's not smart. He not only borrowed the money to buy the car, make the payments, he borrowed the down payment. And that became his downfall. Now, he flashed it around, and the girls liked it for a while, but pretty soon he was walking again. because the payments became due. That's what I'm talking about. That's low-class dealings right there. Where you overextend, you can't live up to your obligations, and we've seen it. We've all seen that happen many times, and we're seeing that big deal today where impulse buying, they call it. And by the way, ladies and men, the commercial world has learned how to attract you, and we've come to a day and time. If you'll sign your name, you can just about get anything on credit, but then you pay the piper later. And the bad results come from that. We know that. Read in the paper all the time where somebody robs a bank. And, you know, generally in the same article, they get caught. You know why? Now, it's wrong. They ought to get caught, but it was an impulse to steal. They didn't have any plans. It tickles me when I read about how some of them get caught. Go in, rob the bank, run out, steal a car, and in one case, car was a standard shift. They'd never driven one. They couldn't get it going. Yeah, that just tickled me pink. Amen. Raised on the automatic, everything automatic. Well, they automatically got caught, too. But that was something they done on the impulse. They just did that. And that's the low-class stuff I'm talking to you about. Paying a high rate. But the Bible principle is just the opposite. Proverbs is the story of the ant and the grasshopper. Which one laid up for the winter? Which one grabbed it right now? No preparation. And hard times come and they were not ready. That's what I'm talking about. And the college professor was dead right. A quality of class has to do if you're willing to wait for that is better, sacrifice now so you'll have the best later instead of just grabbing it and blowing it right now and having nothing like the grasshopper later. Amen. That's not popular amen preaching, but brother, if you want your life ordered right, you ought to get a hold of that. You ought to get a hold of that. See, the government don't owe us anything and it can't give us anything. It hasn't taken away from somebody else. And yet these mobs we see in the street, you know, they're out, up there boycotting Wall Street and going to Trump's rallies. And you know what they're afraid of? They're afraid somebody's going to take the candy away that I've already gotten free. Yeah. About what it amounts to. Do you know the future of our country has no future? There is no future with that kind of character or lack of character. I mean, it's so opposite from what this country was built on. The work ethic is gone. I never forget seeing one of them on the street, one of the reporters with a microphone, and all this mob out there boycotting Wall Street and all laying around on the streets and all that. And he stuck a microphone in one of them's face and says, "Do you want a job? Are you looking for a job? You complaining because you don't have a job?" He said, "I don't want a job. I want a check." Well, he told the truth. And that's the attitude that we're seeing that's destroying the great country that our forefathers built. It's sad, but the government don't owe us anything, and we ought to get a hold of that. We really ought to. This election rhetoric that we're hearing is just that. It's the mobs. We want free college. We want free everything, but somebody has to pay for it. And the trouble is, we have crossed the middle line where we've got more people taking now than we have earning and putting in. And that's not going to work very long. You ever see, in the old days, you didn't see this much anymore, but in the old days, once in a while, you'd see a few fellows pushing a car down the road or trying to push it off the road after it quit running. I know the guy was joking around, but I saw about three boys one time pushing a car, and one of them was kind of on the side where the others couldn't see him. Now, old cars, I got to teach y'all science a minute. Old cars used to have what we call running boards on them. And so for a joke, the others was pushing it, and he jumped on the running board and was riding. Well, that's exactly what we got in America, a lot of them riding instead of pushing. And letting somebody else be the energy and be the work and do the pushing. And that's running our country. There's no doubt about it. And that's what we're seeing today. And it's ripping the fabric out of our society like is unbelievable. lost this old ethic of hard work, lost this thing of honesty, lost this thing of earning our own way, lost this thing of not buying something we can't pay for. Somebody says the Bible says we're not to go in debt. Well, the kind of debt it's talking about, right? Listen, if you make a contract with somebody, you're going to give them dollar down and a dollar a day or whatever it is, you don't owe anything until you miss doing what you promised. So when the Bible says owe no man anything, there is a philosophy there. Now, when you say, all right, if I can con him into giving that to me, if I can pay a little bit down, I'll make the payments when he can catch me. And that's the attitude that we see too much in society today. It's just too bad, but it is true. Now, as a Christian, it is apparent that the Bible instructs us to be the one that has the character to sacrifice now for what is best later. That's a principle that we have in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us, look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. Because the things that are seen are going to pass away. They're temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Now that's the difference. That's the difference. That's the evaluation that you need to make. And time perspective has all to do with that. Romans 8:18 over there tells us pretty much the same thing. That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's the now here. That's the future. And the sad truth is today, a lot of Christians will not have much reward at the judgment seat. They got saved, but they never could get things lined up to serve God first and be rewarded later. Instead, right now, all for self and nothing to serve God. That's too bad, folks, but it is a truth, especially in the day and time that we live in. You want an example of it? How about Esau and Jacob? Yeah. I mean, Genesis 25 over there. Old Esau came in from hunting. He was hot, tired. He hadn't killed anything, and he was hungry, and Jacob saw his opportunity, didn't he? Yeah. And you saw Esau sell his birthright for a mess of pottage. We're seeing that in Washington, D.C. all the time. We see it everywhere we look today, people selling out cheap for the now, and messing up their future in doing so. I mean, the Bible says he disdained his birthright, and that was a big thing. That was a spiritual thing. And Moses here is talking about doing the right way, opposite from what Esau done. Moses is talking about here choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And young people, the message is probably more to you that you got more years ahead of you if Jesus don't come. And if you want them to turn out right, you're laying a foundation right now. And right now is the time to get this thing right so you can reap in the future out there. Amen. Instead of selling out your future now for just a quick fling with the world. And that's what it amounts to. Really does. Sins for a season, pleasures of sin for a season. Now, the worldly Christian, you want an example of it bigger than that, you go to the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Isn't that what he done? I mean, when he said, give me what's coming to me. Well, my father would have probably given him what was coming to him. The truth is, that's what he needed. But the father gave him the inheritance early, didn't he? What did he do? He wasted it. On riotous living. Bible says he finally came to himself, and I've often heard a preacher say when he came to himself, it was holes in his clothes. He really came to himself. I mean, he'd lost it all. He's down there with the pigs fighting over pig food, you know, and down in the mud with them. But boy, he must have had a great time for a little while. Yeah. Pleasures of sin for a season till he spent it all. And then he found out what the world thought of him. When he had nothing else to spend. And it's still that way. Nothing's changed. That's still the same way it is. How many young people get enticed? Oh boy, I'm popular. Popular as long as you can pay the bill. As long as you can spend on your friends, they love you to death. But brother, when you can't, they'll forget your name. I've had so many come by this church here wanting a handout. And in many cases, they spent their very last dollar at the bar.
but they don't go to the bar for a handout. They come to church. That's exactly the principle I'm talking to you about tonight. High class is doing it God's way. High class is getting your time adjusted to where you understand that right now is the time maybe to wait on something instead of grabbing for everything you can. And the old professor there was right when he's talking about how you measure what is really class and what is low class and what is high class. Rewards for the future don't just happen. Brother, they are paid for now, and you pick them up later. Somebody said, my ship's coming in. Somebody else said, did you send one out? If you didn't send it out, it's not coming back. And too many folks knock the hull out of it while it never gets anywhere because they blow it right now. I don't know. This is, you may not have done this, but I remember in the back seat of Daddy's old Buick, my brother and I, not that much distance between us. And I remember when we'd go uptown on a Saturday, and Mother'd get groceries, and Daddy'd probably stop and gas up the car. Somewhere in that deal, Harvey and I would either get us one of them big, tall, pretty drinks, strawberry, grape. They used to be taller than they are now, I think. And we'd get us one. And we get in the back seat of that old Buick and start home. And we never talked about it until so much ahead of time. But we'd sip on it. And I'd look at his and he'd look at mine. And we'd sip on it. We were going into a little contest. You know what we wanted? We wanted the other one to drink his up first. So we'd say, goody, goody, I got some left. You say, childlike? Uh-huh. I pastored a lot of childlike people doing exactly the same little game I used to play when I was about 6 years old there, or seven, or whatever it was. And I wanted to see, the principle was who could save it, who used it up, gobbled it up right now. Anybody ever remember reading Tom Sawyer? Now, old, what's his name that wrote it anyway? I lost it at the minute. Mark Twain was kind of claimed to be an atheist, and a lot of his writings in Tom Sawyer was anti-church, anti-God, and you remember that. But do you remember when Tom and whatever her name was, Betty or whatever it was, got lost? All right, I'm glad you read that deep stuff. I can't remember it. I did read it a long time ago, a lot longer ago than he did, I'm sure. But anyway, they got lost in the cave, and from the party, they had a piece of cake left. Anybody remember that? Tom was wise enough to just take a little bit of it because they had to save some for later. Anybody remember that? Hey, read that deep stuff. Anyway, that's the principle I'm talking to you about now, thinking about the future. What you do now has so much of an effect on it. And I'm talking about the Christian life with us all. Also, the difference in a worldly Christian and one that's sold out to God depends on what you see in this principle of preparing now for later. So, oh, I'd love to have some rewards at the judgment seat. Well, have you won any souls? Have you done anything that lasts for God? Have you given sacrificially? Are you doing something to get the gospel out? Hey, right now you may have to sacrifice to do that. But boy, one day you'll sure be glad you did. There'll be a big difference then, I'll guarantee you. I apply this to students a little bit. How many of you, and I know I'm going some real deep stuff now, Tom Sawyer, and how about Happy Days on TV? Anybody remember the Fonz? And we love to laugh at him, you know, get in the mirror and all, he just right, couldn't improve on it. Remember that? And, but what was he? He was the rebel. He was the one dropping out of school. He was the one going against the system. And we all laughed and all of that. But we've all had some Fonzies in our life, remember? I remember a boy as far back as the fourth grade. When we'd play sports, I had to get close to him because he stunk like cigarettes. I mean, really, smell bad. And if you got close enough, he breathed on you, just knock you down. I read in the paper not too many years later where he died. But he was stealing cigarettes from somewhere and smoking them in elementary school. And you know what he was doing? He was blowing his health then. Later on, he didn't live very long. That's the sad truth of that you see with a lot of folks. It's just too bad that it happens that way, that people can't understand, and young people especially, I'm talking to you. Now look at the funds later. By the way, Henry Winkler, is that his name? I've seen him advertising reverse mortgages on TV. Now, listen, he was playing a part of the funds. I expect he's a pretty smart guy. I expect he took care of it. I don't think he lived the life of the funds. I doubt that he did. I don't know nothing about him. But I've seen so many funds that later on I saw how they wound up. And the guy that stayed in school got his nose in the books, and he's the one with the good job and the big house and the car and all of that. But the funds are still pumping gas at a station if they can even get a job. But you see, that's a perfect picture of either sacrificing now or hurting later. I don't know if I'm coming across tonight. I probably should have preached a stumping sermon about something you'd understood, like your own sins. But anyway, this will fit. College students, what'd you come to college for? Did you come to college to get a good job? You came for the wrong reason. So when I came to get married, well, there you go again. I hope you came to college to get your tool that you're going to use for the Lord sharpened. Somebody says he is not wasting time that sharpeneth his tool. And that's true. That's true. There's a story. And Colin, back when Richie was a youth leader here, three years probably before he died. He did this with a youth group. Maybe it's been done a time or two since. It should be done every now and then. It's got a real truth that ought to be taught. I think I got Richie started on it because I knew the story and I told him, and I think he elaborated on it and did a really good job at one of the big youth rallies. But here's the story, and you'll remember it. It was the princess in the castle that had been told her prince was coming one day. Anybody remember that? All right, several of you. And all she had to do was wait. Do right. The time had come. See, in the old days, families arranged marriages, and why you kids say, oh, no, look what some of you have done. You'd have been better off to have gotten some help, amen? And in the old days, the families kind of committed to. And so she'd been told, certain family in a distance, a young man who's growing up, one day he'll be your prince charming and he'll come, and all you got to do is wait and do right. And she did for a long time, but she got over anxious and impatient. We don't see that much, do we? All the time. I'm 13, Mama. I'm going to be an old maid. See that junk? Anyway, that was her mentality about it. Time went on. The prince had not come, but she was told he was coming and how good looking he was and how wonderful they were going to live happily ever after and all of that. But there was a low class repairman or something that come in the back door, or delivery boy or whatever he was, and of course, he was sharp. The devil has some sharp cookies out there, but they don't last very long, girls. Amen. Anyway, he kept on till he was able to talk her into running off with him. Remember the story? And she left prematurely, out of God's will, out of God's plan. And she left and went with him. And the story kind of ends with one day she's down there mopping the floors at a shack. She looks up on the mountain where the castle is, where she used to live, where she ran away from home to marry this bum. And she sees the prince. But she's already blown it. The prince is riding up, knocking on her door, but she's already blown it. She's down here scrubbing floors now. She blew it. She sacrificed the permanent riches on the altar of temporary, where she grabbed for it and got it now. I wish you could get a hold of that, because it is a principle that just you see all the time. It's ruining our nation today. It's the freeloading crowd out there. It's the welfare crowd that didn't earn it, but they think it's coming to. They're not going to grub it and grit it out like mom and dad did. And there's a whole lot of young people even raised in good homes. And as soon as they get married, or even before they get married, all of a sudden they think they're being mistreated because they can't have everything mom and dad earned for 50 years. That's bad thinking. That's of the devil. That's not of the Lord. That's not the Bible. That's not a principle that for success at all. And yet we see it. We see it today. It's too bad, but it's true. And run it across any way you want to, and especially I see it with young people. To get that foundation right, to not let the devil spook you. I said it recently, I'll say it again. Marriage, for instance, is a good thing. It's of God. But if the devil can shove you into it early, he can mess you up. Right. If he shove you into it with the wrong one, he will. And the sad truth is, we're seeing that happen. Or in worst cases, getting together without marriage and all. I've watched it here in this town through the years. I've seen little girls come to this church. Pretty little girls. And by the way, listen to me, girls. You're not going to like what I'm fixing to say, but the prettier you are, the more danger you're in. You know what I said? I'm being mean now. Go get in front of the mirror and look as ugly as you can. There's safety in that. All right, just let me have my fun once in a while. More protection there than you think. I'm not going to follow that now. I got to get off of that. I'll carry it too far. In fact, I've seen some girls that's protected for a lifetime. All right. Shouldn't have said that. Oh, man. Kind of ashamed of that. But the principle's true, whether I messed it up or not. Some of you say, well, I'm going to be an old maid. I can't. Well, that may be safe for you for a good while. There's a whole lot of worse things than that. That is being hooked up in the wrong relationship that'll destroy your life. It certainly is. Principle is real. Classy is being deep enough to wait. Waiting is the hardest thing, but it's the right thing. We all hate to wait. I don't have the patience I should. A lot of folks say, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. And that's our attitude. But the truth is, waiting often is God's plan. And he tells us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's a thing. Answered prayer, he answers our prayers. He says yes, no, or wait. And waiting is the hard answer. But it's the right one many, many times. To wait and do it right. Now, there's a principle here that'll apply even to the lost man. You see it all the time. Time perspective. Lost man out there grabbing for everything he can get right now. But what's it costing him? Rejecting Christ, it's costing him his soul. That's what Jesus said. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? That's grabbing for things. Jesus said a man's life doth not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. I've seen bumper stickers on cars, and it's facetious, but it's got a good point. But it says, he that dies with the most toys wins. It's not true. Amen. Leave all your toys behind. That's right. So that's not true. But it's a philosophy that's running and has ruined our country And it's getting worse as socialism is knocking on our door right now, big time. And it's in our streets. It's this thing, I'm owed a living from everybody else. And it's not just a living, not just bread and a place to sleep. It's all the fun things everybody else seems to be doing. I have a right to them too. So that's why a lot of these young men, if they can get a gun, they think that's their ticket. It is a ticket to jail or death. But see, they don't think ahead. They're just thinking about right now. That's why the bank robber gets caught and so forth, I said a while ago. If you're not saved, what are you grabbing for right now? It can cost you your soul. It really can. Somebody said, missionary, great missionary, died as a martyr. Forget his first name, Elliot, I believe. Last name. He says, a man is a fool who will not give up what he cannot keep to receive what he cannot lose. That's the principle in a nutshell. That's it. That's being willing to wait now for God's plan, God's steps, God's leading. Wait now. Pay the price now, waiting and doing without maybe something so I can have more later. When I was a young man, before I went in the ministry, I think maybe I was youth leader at the church in Winter Haven at the time. I had a service job going around to different places. And went to this one house. I can still remember right about where it was located over in Winter Haven. Nice, nice home. And like I say, I like to look at cars. And this guy had just bought a brand new Cadillac back when that was a big car. And I looked at his car when I'd be there, just enjoyed looking at it. And he didn't talk much, but he'd talk a little bit. And I made a comment about his car, I guess, and somewhere in our conversation, he said something. He said, you know, I have a nice house. He said, I have a nice car. He said, I didn't always have these things. He said, I practiced something when I was a young man. He said, I saved. I was conservative. He said, I worked. He said, I didn't think I had to have it. He said, that's paid off. Well, that's the principle. Right. That's the principle right there. I don't know where he was a Christian. I kind of doubt so. In fact, I think he was Jewish, but I'm not sure. But his principle was right. And it is right, whether you're just out there in the secular world, and especially is it right if you're a Christian. And if you want to follow God's Bible and God's principle and God's plan. And the thing is, don't grab for things. If you're unsaved, it's going to cost you your soul. There's a lot of guys, and I've talked to a number. Preacher, I'd get saved, but I'd have to quit this. I'd have to quit that. I'd have to quit my gambling. I'd have to quit my... And one fellow said to me, he said, if I got saved, I'd have to play by the Christian rules. And he said, that would kill my business. There you go. So I hope he got saved later, but he knew that he was holding on to some things he'd have to quit doing if he got saved, really got saved. And that's the principle I'm talking to you about tonight. Let me challenge you. Try to get a hold of it. If I walk up to you and I say, are you a classy person? Do you know what I'm going to mean by that? Not how you dressed. Not whether you got a poodle that leads you around on a rope. Stuck up person. I'm not talking about that. By the way, that's my opinion. I see these folks out here walking dogs. I go by and I say, see that dog walking that man? I think about things different like that sometimes. Do you walk yours? Play with Matt here a little bit. The truth is, classy is, can you wait and do right now so you'll have more tomorrow? That's what definition is I'm talking about to you tonight. It's a principle we need to get a hold of in our churches, in our homes, and raising our kids, and setting our lives right with the Lord. That's a principle in the Bible, and it'll work. Father, we pray you'd add your blessing. We've talked not so much the gospel tonight, Lord, even though somebody here unsaved, they may be violating this very thing by holding on to something they need to give up to have eternal life in the future. And I pray for their soul. But Father, we've talked to your people tonight. Oh, our Lord, I wish our young people could get a hold of this thing and understand they win by waiting on you and doing it your way. I pray you'd bless the invitation now. Pray you've spoken to some heart tonight that'll get some help out of this. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand, please. If God's asked you to do something, come to the altar. Maybe move a church membership. Maybe you've been saved, ought to come for baptism. I don't know. God knows. Maybe